Edmonton Rush, they've had an outstanding season. They will wrap it up tonight against Vancouver. Also, they will hand out their player awards. Very difficult choice for the team MVP this year, for sure. I don't think the coaches vote on that, but I'm not sure. Assistant coach of the Edmonton Rush, Jimmy Quinlan, joins us. Jimmy, how you doing?
I'm good, Jason. How are you?
Good. Do you guys
vote? Jason and Jason, I guess.
Yes, that's right. Jason. J squared. Hey, fired
2.0?
Up. Yeah.
This is the new version.
Yeah. Do you do coaches vote on any of the player awards?
We have a bit of a say, but yeah, not too much. We don't really like to get involved in that too much. But yeah, they do ask us a little bit, but it's more media and other representatives. So I don't know really how many people are voting on that. But I think you hit the nail on the head when you said the MVP is going to be definitely a tough one, because we've had some young players step up, and then obviously our goaltender Aaron Boldman, one of our catalysts the whole way. So I'm glad I'm not handing out that award, and I'm happy to say I won't be winning that award.
Jimmy, the Rush, of course, coming off an overtime loss against Calgary. You definitely don't want to go into the playoffs in a two-game losing streak and loses a three of your last four after such an outstanding start. I don't think it'll be a problem having your team focused already. I don't think that was the issue necessarily last week. But when you've had a chance to look back on the film, from a defensive side of things, what irked you the most about your game plan or maybe your execution against Calgary last week?
First off, the guys look dialed in today. So, that's always a good sign when the guys are excited to be at the rink and they're up and they're energetic and they're excited to get going. So that's, I think, definitely a plus for us going in. But, reviewing last week's film against Calgary, I think the thing that irked me the most was that we allowed them to dictate at times far too often, and we were a little tentative getting out and putting ball pressure, on the ball carrier. And I think we, at times got worried about what they were doing and forgot about, we have to worry about us. And that's been the big focus this week, is to go out and to push the pace from the back end and, play at the speed we want to play at. And so last week when we reviewed the film, it was evident that there was breakdowns, in multiple areas on the defensive end, but they most often occurred because we didn't have any ball pressure. And then that's just, I think, a simple case of guys not trusting each other and not trusting the system, which we've been so good at for so long. So we'll get back to that tonight.
Jimmy, do you feel the team was maybe guilty of, I hate to use this word, but coasting, knowing they're already locked in for the playoffs?
Yeah, a little bit, but I think the best thing was the reaction to the losses. They sat there in Colorado and had a short memory, and then last week the fellows in the room were not too happy with themselves because, again, we didn't play our best, but we were right there at the end, which I think speaks volumes about the team we have, that we can maybe not be at our best and still always have a chance at the end of the game. But, I think there was a little bit of complacency that maybe crept in a little bit, and just kind of, in the fourth quarter we were up 3 goals and kind of took our foot off the gas. The next thing we were going to overtime and we've lost the game. So it's one of those things where it's no different than any sport where if you got a chance to knock the other guy out, you might as well take it.
Jimmy Quinlan, assistant coach of the Edmonton Rush, joins us. Jimmy, your team, the power play, and I know you're on the defensive side of thing, but you played offense and defense. Your power play was outstanding earlier in the year and has struggled here in the last few weeks. What do you see from a defensive side of thing? Are they attacking the power play different? What does your power play have to do to get going again?
Simple, shoot the ball. You look at the other teams, and they're really starting to plug up the front of the net and congest things, and they know that we're a team that likes to get to the middle of the floor for our shots, and they're really just packing it in. Almost if you compare it to basketball, they're playing a bit of a zone defense, or in hockey, they're really collapsing the front of the net. And, we have opportunities. We've got good shooters on the outside, and then they're hesitant to release the ball. So I think it's really, stick with the game plan, stick with the plays out there, but then, be able to ad-lib off those. And if you see a shot, take it, hit your spot, and, hopefully we're lining up at center. So I think sometimes we try to run the play to perfection or look for the perfect goal, and just taking the opportunity that's in front of us is the best bet.
In lacrosse, is it similar in hockey where, a lot of breakdowns happen defensively after that first initial shot?
Yeah, it is. It's one of those things, where when that shot's taken, and you use the analogy like in basketball, boxing out, where, you know, if that rebound, you know, goes long and the team gets a repossession and you can attack quickly, guys are really out of position, or if you get that rebound right off the shot near the crease, it's difficult for the goalie to stop. So, you know, it is one of those things where you want to generate shots from the high scoring areas on the floor. But, you know, those repossessions, they can be so crucial to you for you in a game, because they force defense to play extended periods on the floor. Plus, it just gets you kind of out of rhythm and out of position. So, you know, we're fortunate offensively. We've got some real good guys at retrieving the ball. And just for some reason on the power play, we kind of maybe, I think, switch gears and then look for that perfect shot. And I guess we don't play to our strengths at times.
Jimmy, defensively, you guys have been sound all season. I know you didn't like a little bit about Dixon and how he's always getting to the top. You look at Vancouver tonight, and, you know, they don't have a guy who's a real prominent shooter as much. Reese Dutch is definitely their go-to offensive player. What do you try to get out of this game as far as good habits to ensure that you're ready for the playoffs, regardless of who you take on?
Yeah, I mean, I think you look down you don't want to look down the road, but we know we're playing Colorado or Calgary, and both of them got some premier one-on-one guys in Curtis Dixon and John Grant. And then Reese Dutch is probably, you know, right up with those two guys as one of the best offensive guys in the league. So he's one of those guys, again, that we want to make a passer at the same time that we got to limit his time and space. So he's one of those guys that really is, you know, they go as he goes. A lot of the offense gets worked through him, and we just got to stick to the systems and not, when he gets the ball, not sit back and allow him to dictate the pace and the speed of the game. So we'll have a couple smaller bodies on him tonight that are a little bit faster, a little bit better feet to hopefully take away that time and space and frustrate him. And I know we did it last time in Edmonton, and we were great, you know, through the first half, not allowing any goals. I think he finished with maybe two. So if we can do what we did the last time we faced them, then we like our chances.
How much do you challenge your defensive players to be, you know, better and increase their skill sets and to be really nasty on the other teams?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I had that talk with them today about, you know, making players earn it a little bit more in the middle of the floor, because the defense we play is one that, you know, likes to get out on hands and force feet and get players to move. And at times we don't, I think, take the body enough. So that was definitely one of the messages. And it's always with us. It's nothing's free. They got to earn it. They got to pay for it. They got to rent the space in the middle of the floor. And, you know, the games where we're having success and we're allowing under 10 goals, that's exactly what's happening. We've got our help in position and guys are sliding to bodies and other players don't want to cut through the middle. And in the games where we allow more than 10, we have too many of those breakdowns where guys end up one-on-one with their goalie and it's just too easy for them. So it's always about making it hard on the other team. And, you know, any guy who's played sports knows that's not an easy thing to do consistently every single night.
Jimmy, before I let you go, who would you vote for MVP?
Oh, throw me on the spot. Yeah, depending on how Majot did at the speed dating, I heard you guys on the way home, I might vote for him. you know what? I would probably flip a coin between Kyle Rubish and Curtis Knight. I think what Curtis Knight brings to us every single night is if you're a true fan of the game, you understand the game. He does so many little intangible things and goes so quietly about his business. And I like just like that kind of player who just shows up every week, punches the clock, and doesn't expect anything. So he'd kind of be maybe the guy I would lean towards, or Kyle Rubish, because again, he draws their best player every night, does an excellent job shutting him down.
Yeah, it's hard to argue. I had Rubish or Corbeil. I think Chris Corbeil, what he's done defensively, what he's done, you know, taking over the captaincy and, you know, challenging his team early to be way better at home and be better early in the season. And then, you know, scoring 16 goals for him, having a career year offensively.
Yeah, he's been good. Just a little tidbit there. If he gets more than one tonight, he'll set the record, I think, for goals for a defenseman. So he's another guy who definitely is well deserving of the candidate. You can make the same comment there about Aaron Bolt. So I think it's the first time in Rush history where we can have that debate, and it's a good debate. So obviously we're happy to be able to have that.
Well, Jimmy, are you coming back? Do you want to partake in the karaoke contest again?
Oh, how many weeks do I have to practice? Because I was awful.
Well, you would have 4 weeks.
That was one of my worst experiences ever, by the way.
Well, and actually, you'll be in the playoffs, so I know you can't commit because you guys will likely be in the playoffs that weekend if everything goes the way you want. But if by chance you guys aren't out of town, you're more than welcome to come as a spectator.
Sure. And if there was a spot opened up and you needed someone to make a fool of themselves, I'm always willing to do that. I honestly never thought it would be that hard. I thought I'd be better than I was. I guess you look better looking at yourself in the mirror than in reality or something like that. That was a painful 3 minutes. I think I'd pick a shorter song with less lyrics.
Well, now you know for next year.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Jimmy, I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. You guys have a nice night.